162-0 is off the table, but 161-1 is still in play. The Braves take 2 of 3 from the Phillies up at the Bank Vault in Philadelphia. It was an emphatic series win for the Braves in the season series opener. Snit very happy with what he saw.
You know, this was a tough series. It's a good series to win, to start off on, and, you know, it's on to Chicago and try and win another one.
From the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, this is the Braves Report presented by Kroger, the podcast that takes you inside the clubhouse and gives you the stories behind the score. I'm Barrett Salee, hanging out in the heart of Braves country. At Braves country, you have to be excited. You have to be excited with what you saw in Philadelphia. Yes, the Phillies fans were jacked up. They were ready to go. They were ready to unleash the anger and the frustration that followed them throughout the course of the offseason when, yeah, they beat the Braves, but no, they could not get to that World Series, and the Braves deflated that balloon in a hurry. 2 of 3 from the Phillies, and the two were absolutely emphatic. You want bats? The Braves had bats. Orlando Arcia, yeah, you know what? They were booing Orlando Arcia before the series, and now they're probably like, oh, God, we got to see that guy more. From Arcia to the doubles machine, Matt Olson, to Ronald Acuna Jr., everybody contributed in a big, big way, including Jesse Chavez. A lot to be excited about after what we saw. And if this is your first time listening to us, welcome aboard, and make sure you follow us on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast. And save more at the pump during this busy travel season with Kroger. Save a fuel point extra every time you shop when you use your Kroger Shoppers card. Earn 1 fuel point for every dollar you spend, redeem fuel points, and earn Kroger fuel rewards at a Kroger fuel center. Today, I'm headed back up to Atlanta from the panhandle of Florida, and I guarantee you, there's a Kroger just outside Fort Walton. It's got gas. We're almost out of gas, and we will be using our fuel points at that Kroger on the way back up to Metro Atlanta. But 2 out of 3 for the Braves, and yes, Sunday was a little bit disappointing, but let's paint it with a bright brush, all right? Chris Sale, look, I think there was a lot of, I wouldn't say concern, it was more curiosity with what Chris Sale could be. And it was not the best start of his career, but I don't know what more you could want from Chris Sale. 5 1/3, 5 hits, 2 earned runs, 7 strikeouts. That to me is perfect. It was the perfect outing for Chris Sale because you don't need him to be an ace. And let's be honest, if Chris Sale is being counted on to be the ace of the Atlanta Braves, something is probably wrong. But if he's being counted on to be a third starter, yeah, 5 1/3, 7 strikeouts and 2 earned runs, I'll take that all day, all night, all evening long. That to me is the biggest story coming out maybe of the weekend, is that, oh wow, we don't have to count on Sale right now. I thought it was a fantastic performance, and no, it did not result in a win. And yeah, things got a little sideways late. Braves fought, but still, it was a loss that I think there are silver linings that Braves can take a lot of confidence in moving forward. So I think that was big. That was big. But the first two games, man, I mean, I tell you what, I'm down here in Okaloosa Island, Florida, and we get the MLB Extra Innings package. The MLB Extra Innings package was free this week. So we watched the Phillies broadcast. And I mean, I tell you what, it was the most, if you're a Braves fan, it was the most entertaining 9 innings on Friday and on Saturday. It was like they were depressed. John Kruk is the color commentator. And I guess as a Braves fan, we're wired to hate John Kruk for 1993. And I get that. But he was awesome because like Matt Olson came up. He's like, oh God, again, we have to deal with this dude again. They were so impressed with the Braves that they were depressed the entire broadcast on Saturday. It was awesome. That's how great this series was for the Braves. And I think the biggest thing to me, okay, two things really. One, Orlando Arcia going back up there, absolutely owning the Phillies. 6 of 12. Sunday didn't go his way, but he was an absolute machine. But The one thing for me that stood out is Jared Kelenic. We talked about how Jared Kelenic struggled coming out of the gate. We talked about how Jared Kelenic changed his approach before the season. And maybe the presence of Adam Duvall kickstarted him a little bit because he was absolutely on fire during this series. 5 of 7. Didn't start the final game of the series, but 5 of 7 for the series. That, to me, is a big, big deal because it shows that this platoon is a luxury. It's a feature. It's not a bug. And here's Jared Kelenic talking a little bit about how he's feeling.
I'm feeling good in the box right now. Like I said earlier at the end of spring, I was really comfortable with where I was at and feeling the same right now. This is exciting.
And Kelenic, man, let me tell you, he's going to be a big part of this. I understand that Duvall is probably going to get a lot of ABs as well, but Kelenic's a lefty. Kelenic has to come through. And I'm not the biggest lefty righty guy. Like I'm really not. You know, a lot of players hit backwards, and I get that, and reverse splits and everything. And I'm not saying Jared Kelenic or Adam Duvall. I just don't think it matters anymore. These guys have come up seeing so many lefties and so many righties. Yeah, there's a little bit of a difference, but to me, it's not that it should not be as big of a deal as managers make it out to be. And Jared Kelenic, it seems like he knows this. Here's Kelenic talking a little bit about his place in this offense.
Oh, man, like hitting's contagious, especially here, like 1 through 9, even guys on the bench that come in, like, I mean, you saw with Duvall yesterday, like it's dangerous up and down the lineup, which is super fun to be around.
So beyond Kelenic, what's the big storyline here? To me, it's Money Mike. It's Money Mike. And the day that he had, and I'm not talking about on the field, I'm talking about off the field. Yeah, he had a big day on Saturday. Hit the home run late in the 9th inning. Was an absolute monster at the plate. No, Sunday wasn't his best, but he finished 6 of 13. So, you know, oh well. 462. But this is what's important to me. It's the swagger. And I'm not talking about the swagger on the field. Mike, we know what he has. He's very confident in himself, and that's okay. I'm not the biggest social media guy in the sense of what it means, but if you've seen Michael Harris's Twitter page, you know exactly what I'm talking about. He was sparring at Phillies fans, and this is one. He's quote tweeting the Braves after they showed the video of his home run on Saturday. Thanks to the Phil's fans in center bringing the best out of me tonight. You hold a special place in my heart. I love the bank. That kind of swagger is phenomenal. He also says this: I just want to know how I come on here to express my love for my friends in center supporting me, and then I get attacked. And then I say something back and the whole fan base feels threatened. I don't know. Maybe I'm tripping. I love this. I love this. And this is so anti-Braves because it's so corporate, right? The Braves, and look, I'm 43. I've grown up with the Braves my entire life. I love the Bobby Cox Braves, but it was very button up. It was very corporate. It was very formulaic. Money Mike doing this on X after games is the anti-Braves, and it's exactly what we need because you can't fake your identity. This is what bothers me most about coaching hires or whatever. The amount of coaches and players or whoever who stray away from who they are only leads to disaster. And so, yeah, Snit's going to know about that. I'm not sure if Snit knows what Twitter or X is. I'm sure he does. I don't think he goes on to it. I don't think he cares. But the swagger that it shows for Mike to go out there opening weekend and start stirring things up shows me exactly what this team is going to be. They're going to have the public-facing swagger. They're going to have the confidence to go out there and say, hey, look, guys, We're good. We know it. We're going to have fun because sports are going to be fun. That's a great, great attitude. That's a great way to go into the season. And to me, I love to see that. I know traditionalists might not, but I do. And I think this is something that can sort of define what this team is moving forward. Last thing before we get to some questions. Tyler Matzek returns to the mound. We all know that legendary moment in 2021 in the NLCS, striking out three straight Dodgers batters to get Luke Jackson out of a jam and help the Braves win the NLCS. Things have not really gone his way. Obviously, surgery and all that stuff. He comes back, pitches 1 1/3 over the series, allows two hits, but he's back. And here's Matzek after, what, a year-long rehabilitation. Here is Matzek on what that felt like, being back on the mound of a Major League Baseball game.
I mean, it was a good game, close game, and that's what I wanted to go into and just be treated like I was any other guy. I was pleased to go out there and do what I was supposed to do, hold the lead. Felt good overall, and I'm excited that, got the first one out of the way, and now we go.
I love this. I love that Matzek's back. I'm not necessarily, I don't think we should put as much on him now, although with what Bummer did on Sunday, maybe we should. But right now, give him some time. Do not force this. Do not rush things, with Matzek. We know what he can be. We know what he should be. He should be one of the elite relief pitchers in the game. And he can be that. He can be that. So that was exciting to see what Tyler could do. He seemed comfortable. He seemed ready to go. And he seemed like the Matzek that we know and love. And hopefully he can continue that, because, man, it would be awesome to have him as the anchor of the bullpen, just like the Braves had in 2021. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll take your questions. This is the Braves Report from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution.
When you're looking for leading cardiac treatment, look to Northside Hospital Heart Institute. We lead with 5 emergency cardiac care centers, so we're here when you need us most. We lead with more than 55 locations in Georgia. That means we're always in the heart of your neighborhood. We lead with clarity, because clear direction is better when it comes to understanding every step of your treatment. Northside Hospital Heart Institute. We lead with heart.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America N.A., member FDIC.
Hey, we've got a great offer for Braves Report listeners. Listen and listen close, because this is the South's biggest deal. For a limited time, subscribe and you'll get digital access to the AJC for just $1.99 per week for life. That's right, for life, forever, as long as you keep the subscription, of course. And that's our sports and politics coverage, breaking news, in-depth investigations, food and dining, and more from AJC.com every day. You can get it for life. You'll also unlock access to our app, exclusive films and events and newsletters. Subscribe now by going to AJC.com/start. That's AJC.com/start. A great deal for Greater Atlanta. And of course, this is for new subscribers only. All right. Let's take some questions. We like to do this on the show. And you know, this is my second full show as the host of the Braves Report. And we're going to do this. We like to talk to you. You can obviously always call us on the hotline and, you know, let us know what you think. Ask some questions. That number is 770-810-5297. 770-810-5297. You can always do that whenever we can get to it. But for now, we're doing it on Twitter. We're doing it on X, whatever you want to call it. This is where we are. So Todd Anderson, at Todd Anderson 2, the number 2 on X. Should we be concerned about Max? No. Short answer is no. Long answer, heck no. And we could throw in a double hockey sticks on heck and make it something not safe for work if we should decide to do that. Yeah, 2/3 of an inning is not the ideal start to your season. I mean, it was bad. But, and we all saw the strike that wasn't a strike. We all know what happened. He should have gotten out of that inning relatively unscathed, and it got sideways. I mean, all of a sudden you look up, and actually I was watching the Phillies broadcast because I'm down here in Florida. We have extra innings down here. And after that pitch, he was like at 40 pitches, I think, at that point. And they were like, holy crap, he's at 40 pitches? He can't even last three. And then things kept sort of going and going and going, and he got pulled out. No, we should not worry about Max. He should have been out of that inning. It was a struggle. It's fine. It's not a big deal. You should let Max be Max. You should not put pressure on him. Think about it this way. Was game six of the World Series concerning? Put it in a vacuum, all right? Let's put game six of the World Series in a vacuum in Houston. What does that look like? Not Max's best performance. Now, of course, there's the play at first base that should have been reviewed. It ended up not mattering, but it's one start. And I'm not comparing a start to open the season to game six of the World Series, but he should have wiggled off the hook. And through no fault of his own, he didn't. So it's okay that Max had a little bit of a rough outing. And honestly, it really wasn't that rough. It just got sideways. And instead of just continuing to have something snowball and snowball and snowball, Snit said, you know what? Let's just end this now. Hit the reset button. We'll come back. Yeah, you look at Fried's ERA and 40.50 does not necessarily look good. But, I mean, it's fine. It will be okay. Next thing from John Holland. Biggest surprise from the first series. And I had kind of went back and forth on this. And I think it's Kelnick. No, you know what? I'm going to change that. I've been back and forth putting together the rundown. I just went back and forth talking into the microphone. I'm going to go with Chris Sale. I didn't necessarily think we could get that much out of Sale. I thought there'd be a little bit of a quicker hook. He went 5 1/3. I think for me, it was more something along the lines of, okay, can you be good enough to give us 150, 175, and possibly even 200? And I'm not saying he can go that far, but if you give him 5 1/3 in the first start of the season for a new team, I'm totally fine with that. And here is Chris Sale after Sunday's start about his outing and how his slider felt during his start against the Phillies.
Yeah, I mean, he's just staying on it, you know. No confetti gets thrown in March, so, you know, he's still got a long road. It's a long ways to go, so I just stay on top of the things I got to stay on top of, and just trying to be successful.
You know, it's interesting for Sale, too, because this was, again, what am I most excited about? What was my biggest surprise? It wasn't just that Chris Sale was the workhorse that he was. It was that he did it in very unusual circumstances. Chadwick Tromp is not supposed to be his catcher. It should be Sean Murphy or Travis d'Arnaud. Now, I don't necessarily know if Sale has developed a rapport with either one of those guys like Greg Maddux did with Eddie Perez, but it's not supposed to be Chadwick Tromp, and yet here he is coming up in place of Sean Murphy, who unfortunately got put on the IL on Friday night. And Tromp and Sale looked fine. In fact, here is Chris Sale talking about his new surprising teammate, battery mate, Chadwick Tromp.
Trumpy staying on task. You know, he was unbelievable back there today, getting me through those innings. Was it the fifth inning? Just kind of got away from me, and I was kind of all over the place. Cranny comes out, you know, calms things down, and, you know, Trumpy was staying on point and didn't flinch. You know, really, he got me through that inning, and with a minimal damage. So, you know, that was fun to see.
So yeah, I mean, I love the fact that Chris, that was my biggest surprise, and for Chris to do that in a situation like, look, I think this. The Phillies series was wild in a lot of respects. They thought they owned the Braves. The Braves proved them wrong, emphatically in Game 1 and Game 2. But Game 3, it felt like from the moment that it started that the Phillies were kind of in desperation mode. Like, it's not a playoff series, it's nothing like that, but it almost felt like they were in desperation mode. And I think that kind of snowballed a little bit. But I think Chris Sale got a little taste. Hey, this is a thing now. Is it the biggest rivalry that he's been a part of? Probably not. But there's a lot of angst and animosity between the Braves and Phillies. And, you know, for him to experience that, especially after what happened in the first two games, to go out there and pitch in a pressure situation where, yeah, the fans are on you because they want to win. They're sad. They are frustrated. They're angry. They want to see what they paid their money for, and that is a team in their minds that should win the NL East and win the World Series. And we all know that is probably not going to happen, either one of those things. But it was a big series, and here is Chris Sale talking about just that.
It's full throttle, full tilt, for sure. You know, you're talking about two of the best teams in the league. Two incredible fan bases. The atmosphere was you know, incredible here this weekend. So, you know, I'm assuming there's going to be some more of that throughout the year. And we look forward to that. That's what we want.
All right, next question. The togetherness sign. Jim Millard asked this. Jim Millard 11. That's 1-1 on X. The new togetherness sign, which is everyone's got to hit. You know, every team's got one. After you get a hit, you look in the dugout, you do something. Of course, the Braves had the sword. They tried the big hat last year or whenever that was. Unfortunately, New Era got wind of that, and that ended very quickly. But it just looks like, I mean, I'm a college football guy as well. It looks like the O for Ohio, for Ohio State. Is it a done deal, Jim says? Is this a done deal, or can we workshop ideas? I think it's kind of cheesy. Not going to lie. I think it's kind of cheesy. I'm with it if it works, though. 100% on board if it works. I don't care what they do. I don't care if they river dance out there on the field. You know those guys with like the fast legs that look like they're flying independently from their rest of their bodies? Like, they could do that. I don't care. Whatever works. Whatever works. But no, Jim, I think it needs to be workshopped a little bit. It's pretty dumb. But again, whatever floats their boat. Last one, CS Atlanta Dog. Why does Snit so much? All right. This is the first time that we've had a chance to talk about Brian Snitker and some of the criticism he receives on this show, at least since I've taken over. You know who hates every manager? Every fan of every team. Everybody hates their manager. I don't know why Braves fans hate Brian Snitker. It is baffling to me. The dude's won 6 straight division titles. He's won a World Series. Does he make some bad decisions? Yes. Hindsight is 20/20 all of the time. A lot of you listening, in fact, all of you listening and me talking, we would all make very dumb decisions if we were managers of Major League Baseball teams. So, it's a hard job. It's a hard job. And in retrospect, you can't fault a guy for maybe sticking with Aaron Bummer a little too long because you still have a full bullpen that you need to actually use at times. Like, I never understood the Snit hate. And what I kind of feel like it stems from is that he's a little more old school than some of the newer age guys. Kevin Cash is kind of like this at Tampa, where, you know, it is about the analytics, all about the analytics. I guess that's it. But I like a manager with feel. I like a manager who can recognize and understand what analytics are saying, but also how human beings react. And that's a delicate balance. And I feel like maybe that is the genesis of some of these frustrations with, I think, a very small minority of Braves fans. I hope it's a small minority, honestly, because He shouldn't get criticized. So, moving forward, where do we go? Well, we are going to Chicago. The Chicago White Sox, although we can't seem to avoid... This is another thing that bothers me. I'm going to get on my high horse. I'm sorry. Why in the heck do Southern teams start in cold weather territory? Unless it's the World Series champs. Like, if the Phillies had won the World Series, fine. Let them start at home. There is absolutely no reason whatsoever that the Braves should be playing at Philly and at Chicago to open the season. There is no reason why Philly or Chicago should be hosting games at all. There are teams in Florida. There's a team in Georgia. There are teams in Texas. There's one in Arizona, all through California. There's no reason to do this. And yet, here we are going to Chicago, a White Sox team that is about what you think for the White Sox, 0-3. Weather's going to be awful. You're supposed to have Charlie Morton versus Chris Flexen on Monday afternoon. It's going to screw everything up. Because even if games start, they're going to get broken up. They're going to stop. You're going to have other, you know, relievers come in because starters are only going to go two innings, whatever. But Charlie Morton and Chris Flexen on Monday, Ronaldo Lopez and Garrett Crochet on Tuesday, and Spencer Strider versus pitcher X on Wednesday. Assuming that they get all three in, which I'll be honest, they will, because, you know, they're going to have to. We're not going to Chicago anytime soon. Yeah, we play the Cubs a little bit later, but if you're going out of the division, especially out of the league, you try to get them in as much as possible. They'll play at midnight if they have to. If the Braves don't come out of here with a sweep, I would be absolutely floored. There is no reason for the Braves to come out of this any way other than the best team in Major League Baseball. One thing I'm looking forward to, though, is Ronaldo Lopez in Game 2. There's a lot of people chomping at the bit to get up here, to get to the majors, and take that spot. Talking about Darius Vines, who started the season opener down in Gwinnett. Bryce Eldridge, Jason Schauver. Like, this is the luxury that the Braves have. While the Phillies, who we just played, obviously, spots 4 and 5 are questionable, the Braves have spots 5, 6, 7, and 8 ready to go. Just so happens that 6, 7, and 8 are up the road in Gwinnett, not playing next to the battery. So it's a big, big spot for Lopez to see what he can do, to see if he can really be a lockdown fifth starter. And by lockdown, I mean, I don't know, finish the season with a 4.3, 4.4, 4.5 ERA. Honestly, that's fine. But I want to see it. What does he look like under the lights in a Braves uniform? Because this is different than any other place he's ever played. And you guys know it. Loyal listeners of the show, loyal members of Braves country, understand that it's different when you put that Braves jersey on. There's a different amount of pressure. So that's the key in this one. That's the one that I want to know about. That's the one that I think will define what this series is, assuming that things go off without a hitch or at least relatively normal. But again, Mother Nature rules the day, especially in the Midwest and teams up north, and we'll see if we can get these in. We'll see if we can get these in. Whatever happens, though, Braves country, we will talk about it on Wednesday's show. Try to talk to Justin Toscano a little bit. We'll have a guest previewing the weekend, the home opening series as well. We'll have a lot to talk about on Wednesday's show. So send those tweets in. Thank you guys for listening to... This is the second show as the full-time host of the Braves Report. I really enjoyed the reception we got from the first episode. So please, if you aren't subscribed, subscribe to the show. Give us 5 stars. Please. Begging you. Hey, and you know what? If you don't want to give some constructive criticism, that's cool too. I want to know what you want to hear. We're all one big podcasting community. So if you have some ideas, leave a review. Let us know. Perfectly fine with you tossing out some things you don't like and things that you might like and things that you might want to see moving forward. Until then, have a great couple of days, Braves country.
When you're looking for leading cardiac treatment, look to Northside Hospital Heart Institute. We lead with 5 emergency cardiac care centers, so we're here when you need us most. We lead with more than 55 locations in Georgia. That means we're always in the heart of your neighborhood. We lead with clarity, because clear direction is better when it comes to understanding every step of your treatment. Northside Hospital Heart Institute. We lead with heart.
In Atlanta, one voice has stood out for over 4 decades. An AJC original, The Monica Pearson Show.
Let's talk about how you got to ESPN.
Revealing interviews.
You are known as America's doctor, but I want to know who you were before that.
When you have a different name, you have different color skin, it can be tough.
With Atlanta's most famous faces as you've never seen them before.
I'm telling my story. This is the American dream.
The Monica Pearson Show, streaming now on AJC.com.